Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio on a Witness Wednesday. Going to hit the streets with Trish.
Hi, you guys.
Hey, could you please find somebody who doesn't take your cell phone and throw it down and blaspheme and swear at us?
I'm going to really try, Todd. I know I've been giving you such a hard time.
No guarantees.
Yeah, Todd, could you remind me of what I said that upset that guy?
You were just asking him questions, and they were logical questions, hence the problem. Mm. Ray, I find that not just women, but men these days, when you just start to ask questions that get a little harder.
Uh-huh.
You know, they pull this, kind of this quivery lower lip, sissified, how dare you, you beat a big beady, and then they turn it around and throw your cell phone on the ground.
Yeah, the idea is just get a cheap cell phone.
Apparently, if you're going to go witnessing and do phone phishing, make sure that it's a pay-as-you-go sort of plan. So who do you have there, Trish?
That's right, and carry a lot of wipes with you, too, you know, to wipe off the phone. We always do that. I've learned my lesson with that.
Sweet.
I'm at the mall today, and I found a young gentleman. His name is Augustus. You know, I saw him walking, and I'm like, oh, real quick, hey, do you have any thoughts about spiritual things? He goes, yeah, absolutely. And I'm like, well, you know, if you had one word to describe God, what would it be? And he said, merciful. And then I asked him, if he is any certain religion. He says, well, I'm supposed to be a Christian. I didn't really get into that too much, but he said his parents are. And I said, so are you not really, you know, doing well with God? And he kind of didn't really answer, so I'm going to let him talk to you guys.
Ray, interestingly, I mean, you could have a nice dinner conversation for about 4 hours talking about, is mercy God's greatest attribute or certainly top five? That's a wow, coming out of that kid, that's pretty intriguing if you ask me.
I'd like to find out why.
Yeah, well, that could be where the muddle begins. Let's have a chat with the Latinate Augustus, shall we?
Thank you so much, Todd. Augustus, you're live on the air.
All right. Take it away, Ray.
Augustus.
Hello?
Augustus, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. What are you doing?
I'm doing fine. So how old are you?
I'm 19, actually.
Okay. Now, Augustus, you've got your whole life ahead of you. What do you want to do with your life?
Actually, I would like to be a police officer, but as of right now, I don't know where I'm headed, you know, in a good way or a bad way. I'm actually trying to talk more to God, but I actually don't know.
Is God talking to you?
I'm asking for signs. Like today, I had to leave. I was actually at the movie theaters today, and I had to leave early because I'm too sad. You know, I'm not into it. And then all of a sudden,
hang on a minute. The movie was too sad for you?
No. I'm depressed. I'm sad.
So why are you depressed?
Because I've done a lot of bad things
really?
That I don't forgive myself for.
What such as?
Hurting people.
Just hurt them with your words?
Yeah, just with my words and with my actions.
Yeah.
You know, just actually hurting people in a drunken stupor, you know, where you don't remember.
So you were drunk and you hurt
people?
Yeah,
I'm actually like, I used to drink a lot, you know, and people would... The next day, people would be like, how could you do that? And I wouldn't remember, you know?
Well, you know, when you're drunk, you can do things that you normally wouldn't do.
Yeah.
And then when you find out what you did afterwards, then the conscience can hit you.
Yeah.
So, when did you last read your Bible, Augustus?
Actually, this morning.
And what did you read?
I read at the beginning, or whenever the Lord says, let there be light. And then after that, it said, God knew that that was good.
That's great. Now, so say you were to die today. Okay, the alcohol caught up with you and something happened and you just dropped dead. Where would you go?
To be honest, I think I would stay dead until he arose me because
okay,
I'm actually
at the resurrection, do you think when you stand before God on Judgment Day, he would let you into heaven or would you end up in hell?
To be honest, I don't know.
Well, let's find out, Augustus. There's a way to find out, and all you have to do is look to the Ten Commandments for a few moments to see what's going to happen on the Day of Judgment, because the Bible says that's the standard God's going to judge with. As many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law, and the scriptures say will be judged by the law of liberty. So that moral law, the Ten Commandments, will judge you on the day of judgment. So let's have a little test to see how you're going to do.
All right.
Do you think you're a good person?
My conscience is good, like 50 and 50. I've done a lot of bad things that I regret a lot, like real bad.
Okay, well, let's see how bad. How many lies have you told in your life? I mean, real bad lies.
Like, I'm I'm going to exaggerate, probably in the millions.
Okay, you've been a busy boy for 19 years. So, Augustus, what do you call somebody who tells lies?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen anything?
Yes, I've stolen a lot.
Okay, you're a thief?
But
yeah?
I wouldn't call myself a thief. I have stolen a lot.
Well, what would a police officer call you as he chased you after you took something that belonged to someone else? He'd call out, "Stop, thief," wouldn't he? I mean, that's what a police officer. That's how the law sees you. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes, and I put God down too.
Okay, so that's called blasphemy. It's very serious. And one more. Well, a couple more. Jesus said, "Whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart." Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yes.
Have you had sex out of marriage?
Oh, yes.
Have you hated anybody?
Myself.
Any other people? Have you hated anybody?
Yeah, I've hated people.
Okay, this is what the Bible says. Fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God, and if you have sex out of marriage, you sin against your own body, you sin against your conscience, you sin against the person you have sex with, and you sin against God. And the scriptures also say, he that hates his brother is a murderer. So let's have a little summation, Augustus. By your own admission, you're a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, a fornicator, an adulterer at heart, a murderous person, and you're in big trouble on judgment day, huh?
Yes.
So what are you going to say to God? How can you justify yourself?
I wouldn't, as of right now, I wouldn't be able to if I died today.
So where would you...
I'm trying to fix that.
How can you fix it? How can you fix fornicating? I mean, what can you do to make things right with God? Or
read
lust?
The Bible, ask for forgiveness, but mean it. Probably
well, you're getting close. Let me just share something with you. If you die right now, Augustus, you'd end up in hell. The Bible makes it clear. All liars are their part in the lake of fire. No blasphemous person, no thief, no adulterer, no fornicator, no murderer will inherit the kingdom of God. So you'd end up in hell. But that's not God's will, and it's not your will either. There's something in you that says, oh, I want to live. And God, in his mercy, in his kindness, 2,000 years ago, created a body. That person was Jesus of Nazareth. He was God manifest in the flesh. He was the express image of the invisible God, the Bible says. And the reason God became a man is that God wanted to destroy death. And to destroy death, you have to be able to pass through death. And so he created a body to suffer on a cross and die for the sins of humanity. Now, let me put it another way. You probably know that. But it was a legal transaction. What was happening was that Jesus was paying the fine for the law that you broke. You broke God's law, the Ten Commandments. Jesus paid your fine. That means God can now legally dismiss your case. He can let you go. He can commute your death sentence and allow you to live because Jesus suffered and died for you and rose again on the third day. Now, what you have to do is repent. That's the first thing. The Bible speaks of repentance towards God. You have sinned against God. You have angered God by your sins. So you must turn from sin, repentance. And the second thing you must do is put your trust in Jesus Christ. You must put your faith in him.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes a lot of sense.
Okay, now here's the big question. If you died right now and God gave you justice, Augustus, where would you go?
Justice as in, like, let me live?
No, if he treated you according to your sins...
Oh, I would go to hell.
Okay, now what are you going to do about it? You're going to repent and trust in Jesus. Okay, when are you going to do that?
Well, I've been trying to understand how to be forgiven. But,
well, now you know, all you've got to do is say, God, I'm sorry for my sins, and turn from them. Stop doing them. So you can do that anytime. You can do it right now. Don't wait till tomorrow. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time because you don't know if you've got tomorrow. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes a lot of sense.
Right now, Todd, do you want to talk with Augustus?
Hey, Augustus, how do you do?
I'm doing good. You?
Okay, you're clearly trying to figure some stuff out, aren't you?
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, you sure are. Augustus, here's what I'd like to share with you. Your number one problem in life, all the big thing that you need to deal with right now is making sure that you are in a right relationship with God. Because if you're not, dude, he's going to cut you down. He's going to deal with you someday. And he offers you forgiveness and everlasting life. And that conscience that sounds like it's bugging you right now for whatever it is that you've done, or maybe that somebody's done to you, that whatever it is that's troubling you right now as you're thinking about God, he says, I'll take that and I'll forgive it and I'll forget about it. And I'll never bring it up again and I'll separate you from it as far as the east is from the west. So if your conscience is nagging you and what that fellow said, you're thinking, you know, that makes sense that Jesus died on the cross to forgive my sins. Dude, today, think about your sins. Think about the kindness of God dying for you and then repent and trust Jesus. Okay, would you please make it a priority today to think about this?
Yes, I promise.
All right. Hey, dude, I don't think this was luck or chance or coincidence. I think God orchestrated this and a ton of people are going to be praying for you, okay?
Thanks.
All right, young man. Goodbye.
All right, thank you. Bye.
See ya. Unlike so many these days, sounds like he has a conscience that God is working on, so pray that he would repent and put his trust in the Savior today. Wouldn't that be a gas?
This is Wretched Radio. Do ultrasounds really save the lives of babies? Yeah.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind, but seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
One ultrasound, one saved baby. Would you please consider supporting the Ministry of Preborn? Just $28 will provide a free ultrasound to a woman who is considering abortion. They are saving lives every day. 80% of the time a woman sees an ultrasound, she decides to choose life. How many ultrasounds could you provide for just $28? Kindly visit preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched. Provide ultrasounds and save the lives of babies.
You know what's bad? Traffic. You know what's worse? False teaching. Yeah. So why not learn about false teaching the next time you're sitting in traffic? Drive-by false teaching. 79 lectures on false teaching, perfect for your morning commute. Join Phil Johnson, Mike Fabares, and Todd as they discuss false teaching that threatens the contemporary church. Drive-by false teaching will help you distinguish between the true and the false, or worse, the true and the almost true, and give you the tools to contend earnestly for the faith. Learn about the Church of Christ, Seventh-day Adventism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, and many, many more. Visit wretched.org/false to get your copy and learn about false teaching on your drive to work. wretched.org/false and learn to defend our Christian doctrines. wretched.org/false. Wretched. Amazing grace.
Let me take you to Eastern Europe, where the stories coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs are much better than my accent.
Katya came to the club when she was 14. Her father at the time left their family, and her mother was struggling to raise 5 kids by herself. Katya loved her experience in the Tomorrow Club right away and was overwhelmed by the amount of God's love shown through the leaders. Very soon, she brought 3 of her siblings that later became her helpers. Last year, Katya repented at the local church and was baptized. Now she's a leader in this Tomorrow Club serving God. And I want to thank the Wretched Radio for your support that made Katya's story possible. May God bless you.
That's our dear brother, Max, leading the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples, your own Tomorrow Club in a small, poor Eastern European village. You can become a Tomorrow Club sponsor, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The book of Micah contains prophecies against the kingdoms of Judah and Israel. Micah warns of God's judgment for idolatry and oppressing the poor, but he offers hope of salvation in the coming Messiah, who is a shepherd, a judge, and a ruler. Those whom God has saved are charged to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with their God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
So let's hit the streets, shall we, Mr. Comfort?
We shall.
All righty. Oh, Trish, what happened?
Hi. We got
that Augustus, that sweet kid that we just talked to. What happened with that kid?
Oh, it was so overwhelmingly amazing. I didn't even really have to do anything. I just walked in, and it was such a fresh breath of air because I never know how people are going to respond, whether they get upset at me or not. And his eyes were filled with tears. And I go, Augustus, what's wrong? What happened? He goes, I just have, basically, I'm paraphrasing. He's like, I have done so many bad things, and I see it. I've not only just stolen once, but I've stolen more than one time. He goes, and I've hated so much in my life. And his eyes were filled with tears, and I'm like, oh, I just want to hug you, you little guy, you know? And he just poured out his heart, and we just gave him grace. We just gave him the grace of God. He saw himself, and the law of God did its work completely. And that is, it's a, really a rare encounter. You know, that doesn't happen all the time.
Why not?
But his was really genuine.
Okay, mm-hmm. Trish, here's the important question.
Yes.
Do you have the card filled out?
No, and I didn't do a center prayer either. But what I do is I leave them with the Fish with Trish card so they can go to the website so that if they want, you know, we rest in God's sovereignty knowing that if they're the Lord's or whatnot, they will find a church. And so we give them all the proper contact information. If they need anything, they can get a hold of us. They've got all the resources to do it.
Oh, that's just terrific stuff. So let's be praying for Augustus today, because wouldn't it be nice to see that kid grow up to be a strong warrior and see him in heaven someday? That would be rocking cool. All right, Trish.
Oh, yeah.
I got to tell you something.
Yes.
Normally you would think that is a tough act to follow.
Yes.
That shouldn't be our attitude, because it's a soul is a soul is a soul is a soul. So no matter how dramatic or undramatic it is, it's still about preaching the gospel so that God will save somebody. So who you got?
Absolutely. His name's Ernesto.
He's
16 years old. He's out here at the mall with all of his friends. And I just asked him straight up, if you have 5 minutes to live, if these were your last 5 minutes, what would you do with your last 5 minutes? And he said he'd like to skydive. And I go, really? For your last 5 minutes, you want to fall to your death? And he goes, well, no, I want to overcome my fear of skydiving. So that's what I'd want to do with my last 5 minutes. He's a Catholic, hopes that he'd go to heaven when he dies, and it's based on really what you do here on earth, whether your works are good or whether they're not.
We've all got goals. I guess so. Basically what he wants to do with his last 5 minutes, really turn it into his last minute and a half. Pretty much the goal there.
Yeah, really, really. And then he said, well, no. And then rethinking it, he's like, well, no, I'd want to be with my family. So
there you go. That's a little better.
I have a compromise.
All righty. So let's have a little chat with this man. Ray, you ready to take it over?
Yes.
All right. Let's have a go, shall we?
Okay. You're live on the air, Ernesto. You're talking to Ray.
Hello?
Ernesto, thank you for coming on the radio. Hey, you first thought about skydiving if you had 5 minutes to live?
Yeah, I've always had a fear of heights and things like that, and I've always thought that that's what I would want to do with my life.
And then you changed your mind and said you'd rather be with your family.
Yeah, I thought about that, and it's my 5 minutes to live, you know.
Here's a compromise. Skydive with your family. Ernesto, tell me, what do you think happens when someone dies? Where do they go?
Well, I think I've always said that it depends on what you've done for God when you're down here on earth, and he sort of sees of what you've done for him. If you've let others know of what he did or what he's done, like for Jesus, and what happened to Jesus. I've always said that whether or not you recognize that, you go to heaven, and if you didn't, then you would probably go to hell.
Recognize what?
What he did for us, what Jesus did for us while he was here. God sacrificed Jesus' life, his only son, for us.
Could you explain that to me? Imagine I'd not heard a thing about that. Could you explain what that was about to me? Can you put it in other words?
Like, it was his own. Like, if you had a son, and it's your only son.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really hard thing for God for him to have done. You know, sacrifice his only son that he had.
Why did he do that?
He just did it for us. You know, for people, and hoping for us to spread his word, his teachings.
And so, why did he sacrifice his son? Why couldn't he just say, hey, here's some teachings, go and spread them? I mean, couldn't he have just said, this is my son, Jesus, here's a way to live, love your enemies, do good to those despitefully use you, etc.?
Yes, people wouldn't have seen it the same way. It's harder for, you know, when someone dies, you actually take that in, when someone dies.
So it was sort of an example to us of how we should live our lives, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like, you know, we should live our lives to the fullest. We shouldn't ever back down to anybody or to any evil. We should always live our life to the fullest.
So is that why Jesus died, as an example of laying down your life for other people? Is that it?
No, I mean, I'm to tell you the truth, I really don't know why he did it. I'll have to get in more. I'll have to learn
more
about that.
That's what I wanted to hear. Thank you. Okay, let me try and explain it from my point of view, and mine's based on what the Bible says, and then you get back to me and let me know what you think, okay?
Okay.
This is why I think Jesus died on the cross. He died on the cross to take the punishment for our sins so God wouldn't have to punish us.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, by that I mean this. Do you think you've sinned against God?
Oh, yeah, of course. We all have. It's just...
Is God angry at you?
No, he doesn't judge anybody.
Okay, well, let's just have a little check with this. How many lies do you think you've told in your life?
Not that many. I haven't done...
What, 10, 20, 100?
Probably 10, 20 around there. And
okay, they're real lies. Okay, what do you call somebody who tells lies?
Why don't I call someone?
Yeah, what do you call someone who tells lies? What are they called? What's the name of some?
A sinner.
A liar.
A liar singer, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever stolen anything?
Yeah, 2 years back, I decided...
Okay. What do you call somebody who steals things?
Stealer.
A thief. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yeah, of course.
Now that's called blasphemy. Ernesto, it's very serious to use God's name as a cuss word.
Yeah.
Now Jesus said whoever looks at a woman and lusts after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yes, I can't lie about this.
Okay, I appreciate you telling the truth. Ernesto, this is four of the Ten Commandments we've looked at. By your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart.
Yes.
That's how God sees you. And the Bible says God is holy and just, and he's angry at you because of your sins, like a judge is angry at a criminal because of the crimes that he's committed. If a criminal's slit the throat of a young lady after he raped her, the judge is going to be mad. He's going to throw the book at him. And the Bible says God's wrath abides on you. In fact, the scriptures say you're an enemy of God in your mind through wicked works. And if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. So God's not your friend, he's your enemy at the moment because of your sins. So here's a big if. If God was to judge you by those Ten Commandments, we've looked at four of them, on the day of judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
I think I'd be guilty.
Would you go to heaven or hell?
I would go to hell.
Now, does that concern you?
Yes, it does. And that's why I would like to change and hopefully the rest of my life do good.
Well, Ernesto, let's just stay with me for a minute, okay?
Okay.
So we have a problem here. You have sinned against God. God is angry at you, and you're going to go to hell if you die in your sins. Now, this is where God's mercy comes in, and this is where the cross comes in. God became a human being in Jesus of Nazareth, and then Jesus gave his life on the cross to suffer for the sins that you and I had committed. Let me put it another way. A legal transaction took place between God and humanity 2,000 years ago. You broke God's law, the Ten Commandments, the moral law, and Jesus paid your fine. Now, because Jesus paid your fine, God can now legally dismiss your case. He can forgive your sins. He can commute your death sentence. He can allow you to live because of the suffering, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what the cross was about. Him paying your fine so God could dismiss your case. What you must do is repent. That means turn from your sins, confess and forsake them, and trust in Jesus Christ. As you trust in a parachute, or as you trusted in your goodness to save you, now you transfer that trust over to Jesus. Trust in him for your salvation. So repentance is what you must do. Repent and trust in Jesus. The minute you do that, God will grant you the gift of everlasting life. He'll remit your sins. He'll forgive you. He'll allow you to live. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay, now if you were to die right now and God gave you justice, where would you go?
I would go to heaven.
You'd go to heaven?
Oh, right now at this moment I would go to hell.
Okay. What are you going to do about it? You're going to repent and trust in Jesus, okay?
Okay.
That's the way to be saved. When are you going to do that?
Starting now.
Right now. Okay, Todd, would you like to talk to Ernesto?
Hey, Ernesto, how do you do?
Pretty good.
Hey, we just want you to think about something today, okay? We're not trying to get you into a church or to get your money.
Mm-hmm.
What we want you to do is go to heaven so that God can be glorified by saving a wretch like you and a wretch like me and a wretch like the guy with the funny accent. So today, here's what we want to challenge you to do, Ernesto.
Okay.
Think about your sins, all of them. You know them way better than anybody else. And then when you think about Jesus dying in your place, taking the punishment you deserve, it should break your heart. And come before him and ask him for mercy. Turn from your sins and put your trust in him. And he promises he will forgive you and he will make you his child. Because right now, Ernesto, you're a child of wrath. You're a child of the devil. And he'll save you, but you got to come clean. Surrender and submit it all. Die to yourself. And he'll make you his child. It's the best offer that you've ever had. So we'll be praying for you like nobody's business today, okay?
Okay.
All right, Ernesto. Nice talking to you.
All right.
Goodbye.
All right. Thank you.
Could we call the Guinness Book people? That would be to apparently, God only knows, open to the gospel souls in one day. It's been a good day.
Back with more on Wretched Radio.
Sometimes simple is best. The Mission Ball is simply a soccer ball covered with biblical text, a thorough law and gospel presentation, and an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim Christ. With your support, the Mission Ball can get into the hands of more lost and dying souls. Go to themissionball.org. That's themissionball.org. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkenis. In Washington, a bill protecting infants who survive abortions died before reaching a final vote. Senate Democrats Tuesday blocked two pro-life bills, including the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which would have required doctors to provide medical assistance to babies who survive botched abortions. Republicans needed 60 votes to advance the bill to the floor, but only managed to get 56. Three Democrats voted yes, Senators Bob Casey of Pennsylvania, Doug Jones of Alabama, and Joe Manchin of West Virginia. Casey and Manchin also wanted a final vote on a measure that would protect unborn babies from most abortions after 20 weeks of gestation. But that is not going to happen this session. Religious fighting in India claims at least 24 lives in 3 days between Hindu and Muslim groups in New Delhi. By Wednesday, at least 190 people had been injured. Many Muslims have fled their homes and shops as Hindu mobs armed with iron rods and sticks set fires and vandalized property. The Delhi region's chief minister called for the army to help control the situation. Violence surged during U.S. President Trump's visit to India earlier this week. He flew out of New Delhi on Tuesday after a two-day visit. Since December, demonstrators have marched against a law that offers Indian citizenship to Christians, Hindus, and other migrants who fled religious persecution, but not Muslims. Trump has shown support for Prime Minister Modi, a Hindu nationalist, but has not taken a position on the citizenship law. He told reporters he heard about the violence, but did not discuss it with the Indian Prime Minister. A bit of good news out of Chicago. Student evangelists can continue to share the gospel in Chicago's Millennium Park, for now. U.S. District Judge John Robert Blakely has ruled that the city's restrictions prohibit reasonable forms of expression in large areas of the park. Wheaton College students Matt Swart, Jeremy Chong, Gabriel Emerson, and Caden Hood sued the city of Chicago in September of 2019, claiming its limits on speech in the park violated their First Amendment rights to evangelize and disseminate religious literature. The rules in question divide the popular park into 11 imaginary rooms and restrict free speech to one small room. Blakely said he found no evidence that the students interfered with other people's enjoyment of the park, saying, but any specific evidence of an actual problem in need of solving, the city fails to show a compelling state interest to justify its significant restrictions. The court ruling means that the students may continue to preach until the case is finally resolved. And on this Ash Wednesday, a moment to remember 16-year-old Nigerian abductee Leah Sherebu. Her mom stood with fellow Christians outside of the Nigerian High Commission in London last week to pray for her child's release on the second anniversary of her kidnapping. Boko Haram kidnapped Leah and her schoolmates in February of 2018 from a boarding school in the town of Dapchi. The insurgents released the other captives, but not Leah, who refused to renounce her Christian faith. We'll keep praying. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkenis.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. A Good Shepherd protects, directs, provides, and cares for his sheep. Jesus laid down his life for his sheep. No one can snatch them out of his hand. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here's the headline. 30 area churches focus on good deeds in the community instead of proselytizing.
If I do any good deeds, I hate those good deeds being left without people knowing I'm a Christian and that I want to give them a gospel tract or witness to them or something. I don't want them to go away saying, oh.
You have an agenda.
Yeah,
you've got a hidden motive, don't you, Comfort?
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't want that person to go away and say, oh, there are good people in the world. I was wrong.
Right, that's it. In fact, that's the exact opposite theology I want them to have.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. Oh, Trish.
Hi.
How are you? Out there doing nice things for people?
Yeah, I'm at a water park today, and it's a beautiful day, and there's huge puffy clouds.
Crowns
and...
for Trish. Now, there's going to be, I'm guessing we're going to have a kid that we're going to, that Ray is going to be talking to.
Yeah, he's actually an employee of the water park, and he was walking out, and he's getting his paycheck today, and we actually had pulled in, and we thought, wow, there's a lot of people here. Why don't we see if we can find somebody, you know, at the water park to be on the air? And this young man was walking out, and we said, excuse me, sir, do you work here? And he goes, oh, yeah, but I'm not working today. And I said, well, do you mind being on the radio? I know it sounds really crazy, but this is it's a Christian talk radio, but we're looking for people your age wearing a maroon shirt just like you. How do you like that, Ray?
That's good.
And I said, with your hair color, to talk about why you're not a Christian, I said, would that be you? And he's like, yes, that would be.
What do you
and
know?
And so he ended up sharing that he believes in God, but not that Jesus is God.
Right.
And he, you know, though he says he believes in the Christian God, he says, but he doesn't believe that Jesus is God. So anyway, that'll be interesting to talk to him about that.
All right, and the young man's name is?
His name's Tyler.
Tyler.
Tyler, well, that's right. And he says he finds the Bible hard to believe, portions of the Bible, because he has a scientific mind, and so he wants real proof for God. And so he doesn't believe in things like, you know, the flood you know, maybe the literal account of Moses and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ray, I think you better get out your scientific evidence and convince his brain.
I've got to.
Uh-huh. All righty. Here we go.
Okay,
the young scientist
Ray,
who needs sunblock.
Yes.
All righty.
Okay, Tyler, you're live on the air.
Hello?
Tyler, appreciate you spending this time with us.
No problem.
Hey, are you an intellectual type of person? You like intellectual things?
Yes, I do.
What sort of education have you had?
Right now, I'm a junior in high school. I'm a straight-A student, so that's the education I'm receiving right now.
Now, you have a belief in God, Tyler?
Yes, sir.
You think he created all things?
Yes, sir.
Appreciate that. Tell me, what was the purpose of the conscience? Why do you think God gave us a conscience?
To think and to believe whatever we want.
Conscience, not consciousness. You know, that
conscience?
Little, yeah, the conscience, that little voice that tells you right from wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you think he gave us that?
I'm not sure.
Well, do you think it's to tell us right from wrong?
Probably.
You know, when you do something wrong, there's this little voice in you that says, hey, that was wrong. You better go and apologize. Ever had that happen?
To me? Yeah, that's happened to me all the time.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why God gave us a conscience, so we'd know right from wrong. So I understand that you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, but you don't think he was God in human form?
No, I don't.
Okay, and you have trouble with some of the other things written in the Bible, like Noah's Ark and things like that?
Yes, sir.
Well, I can understand that. Now, do you believe in an afterlife?
I believe there's a greater place than this, yeah.
Like a place like heaven?
Yeah, kind of like heaven, but yeah.
But there's a little but there.
But I don't know, it just seems a little bit... I don't know.
These are a little crazy. Look, I had exactly the same thoughts years ago. If there is a heaven, do you think you're good enough to go there, Tyler?
That's a good question. I don't know.
You're a good person?
Yeah, I do good things, and I help with the community. But I don't know. I guess God would judge my morals.
Boy, that's perception. There's a difference between being a good person and doing good. I bet Adolf Hitler did some good things in his life. You know, perhaps he was kind to certain people, perhaps he gave a bit of money away here and there, but we wouldn't think he was a good person, even though he perhaps did good deeds. Okay, let's just measure you by the Ten Commandments to see if you are a good person, to see where you're going to spend eternity, okay?
All right.
How many lies do you think you've told in your life?
coming alive.
Yeah, now I don't mean, you know, little white lies. Like, you know, Mom, I think your new hat looks really nice, and you know it doesn't look as... You wouldn't wear it yourself. But I mean real devious lies where you've actually deceived someone. How many lies would you have told in your life?
I'm not sure. Probably countless. Okay. I'm not sure.
Countless. Boy. Well, I appreciate your honesty. What do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen something in your life?
Sadly, yes.
Okay, now what do you call someone who steals things?
A thief.
Yeah. Do you know, Tyler, we kind of trivialize lies and theft, but God's very serious about them. The scriptures say all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. That's how serious God sees deception. The scriptures say lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. He killed a husband and wife in the book of Acts because they told one lie, and the scriptures say no thief is going to enter heaven. What about blasphemy? Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure everybody has the...
Yeah, not everybody. I mean, I know a few people that haven't. But when you do that, you've got to give an account to God. He gave you life. His name is holy. And you've taken it and used it as a cuss word, which is called blasphemy. One to go, Tyler. Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
I have, yes.
Have you had sex out of marriage?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so here's a little summation to let you know how you look from God's point of view. From his point of view, he sees you as a liar, which you are, a thief, a blasphemer, an adulterer at heart, and a fornicator. So if God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
I'd probably be guilty.
Well, you would be guilty. Would you therefore go to heaven or hell?
I would go to hell.
Now, does that concern you?
In a way, but, I mean...
Tyler, it's got to concern you. You love life? Don't you love life?
I do.
Aren't you grateful to God for giving you eyesight, a brain to think with, ears to hear with, it, all the blessings of this life that he's lavished upon you, and you don't want to give it up. You don't want to lose it and be damned for eternity in hell. So
no.
It does concern you. Now, do you know what God has done for us so that we don't have to go to hell? Any idea?
Supposedly he sacrificed his son.
Okay, now if he didn't, then you're in big trouble because you've got no sacrifice. You've got no savior. You've got no hope. All you've got is the justice of God, and that's a fearful thing to fall into his hands. Let me explain to you what happened 2,000 years ago, and then I'll get your thoughts on it, okay?
All right.
2,000 years ago, there was a legal transaction between God and mankind. God created in himself a body and then filled that body as a hand fills a glove. Jesus, the scriptures say, was the express image of the invisible God. This perfect man, Jesus of Nazareth, then gave his perfect, morally perfect life as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. Now, that means this. You broke God's law, the Ten Commandments, and Jesus stepped in and paid your fine with his blood. When he suffered and died on the cross, when he rose from the dead, what he was actually doing was paying the fine so God could dismiss your case, so that he could commute your death sentence, so he could forgive your sins. And that means, because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can legally forgive you and grant you everlasting life. He can allow you to live. That's what the cross entailed. What you have to do in response to that is repent. And that's a real old-fashioned word. It just means to turn from your sins. It means to no more lies, no more stealing, no more lust and blasphemy, no fornication. It means living a life that's pleasing in the sight of God, repentance when you turn from sin. And the second thing you must do, which is just as or more important, is to put your faith in Jesus Christ. The moment you do that, God will give you righteousness, the Bible says. He'll forgive your sins. He'll grant you everlasting life. He'll justify you. He'll make you right in his sight. Understand that? Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
So what are your thoughts on it? Any thoughts? Do you think I've told you the truth?
Well, I'm kind of a scientific person, so, I'm hands-on.
Tyler, this has got nothing to do with science. This is to do with your eternal salvation. How old are you?
I'm 16.
Okay, now, if you get a minute, go into a graveyard and look on the tombstones and see how many kids die at your age. A lot do, because when you're 16 through to about 22, you take risks with your life. You run across the road, you drive fast cars, you take risks. And a lot of kids die at 16, 17, 18. Multitudes. Every 24 hours, 150,000 people die. So this is your life. This is your salvation. So stop this stuff about I'm scientific and realize you're a sinner. God gave you a conscience. You're without excuse. And you need to repent and trust the Savior. Todd, could you talk to Tyler?
Hey, Tyler, how do you do?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It seems like you guys are on kind of two different wavelengths here. You want to talk about science. He's talking about religion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that maybe the two could be separated for a while?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, with religion, you have to have belief.
Right. Yep, you sure do. Right. You've got to take what you're trusting in now and willfully trust in Jesus Christ instead. That's all.
All right.
Hey, Tyler.
Yes, sir?
We're going to be praying for you, young man. You're 16 years old. You've done some stuff I'm thinking that might be weighing on your conscience a little bit. So we're going to be praying for you, all right?
All right.
All right, man.
You.
See you, dude.
Bye-bye.
16 years old. Fornication? Ay.
This is Wretched Radio.
Thank you very much for joining us. We always appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. And thanks to our gospel partners for making all things wretched possible. Wretched Radio and TV and our internet home, wretched.org. It's the home of all things wretched. No, really, the home of all things wretched. At wretched.org, you will find full 30-minute Wretched TV shows, full 60-minute Wretched Radio episodes, our Wretched store with over 40 amazing resources like Jesus Unmasked, Drive-By False Teaching, Don't Stub Your Toe, and more. You can peruse the Wretched Library. That's where we picked out some videos on selected topics, ranging from abortion to pneumatology, from assurance and discernment to parenting and theology. You can also visit our donate page, if you would, and join us as a gospel partner. Because without your support, there would be no Wretched. So please, if you are able, visit wretched.org/donate to become a Wretched monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
What two pastors go through to bring Bibles to their parishioners in the Philippines.
Two pastors, they had to rise up 3 a.m. and walk for 2 hours. And after that, they have to ride a bangka across the river for an hour and then walk again for 3 hours just to get hold of those precious Bibles. They will return in the same way again to bring those Bibles to people whom they are ministering.
That is what they go through. What must you and I do to bring those Bibles to believers around the globe? Pick up our phones. Call Bible League International. Would you do that right now? $5 per Bible. Could you send 7 per month? Call Bible League International right now, and they will be delivered to the hands of a believer. 1-800-YES-WORD. Just giving you a chance to write that down or to call it. 1-800-YES-WORD to bring Bibles to believers through Bible League International. 1-800-YES-WORD.
Wretched's monthly gospel partners are like the peanut butter to our jelly, or the shampoo to our conditioner, the butter to our popcorn. I know analogies eventually break down, but honestly, without our gospel partners, there is no Wretched. So if you are already a gospel partner, thank you. We are so extremely grateful for you. Every dollar you give goes directly into supporting Wretched and sharing the gospel with thousands. Thank you. Now, if you're not a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one today? Visit wretched.org/donate for all the details. wretched.org/donate. While our TV and radio programs are available to everyone, we need the support from our gospel partners to produce everything that we produce. And the more you're able to give, the more we are able to give away. Get details on becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner at wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. The first name given to God is Elohim in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Elohim is a plural noun, but the verb created is singular. God is plural in personhood, but singular in being. The Creator God is the triune Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, Trish.
Hold on 1 second here. Jeremy, right? Okay, so Jeremy says if he were to die tonight, he would go to hell. Just like that.
and which is, you know, not normal. Most people say they're going to heaven, as we see.
Mm-hmm.
He said, hell. And I said, what's going on in your life, you know? He says, well, his wife left him. He's only 23 years old, and he's got two kids. They just left for Arizona. Ugh. He hasn't seen them. He's wandering around aimlessly, seems real, real depressed. Fully willing to talk to you about spiritual things, though. So, yeah.
All right, this requires a little delicate touch here, so I'll do the best I can. All right, Trish, well done.
Okay, Todd, thank you. Jeremy, you're live on the air with my friend Todd. We're live on the
air. Hi, Todd.
Jeremy, how do you do?
I'm doing.
Yeah, you're not so good, I hear.
Not really.
Yeah?
You've got
two kids and a wife who are leaving you.
They've left already.
Oh, boy. Dude, I'm very sorry. That's a horrible thing.
Yeah.
Heartbroken?
I was, like a year ago.
Yeah? Not heartbroken anymore?
Not really.
No?
I miss my kids and all, but, you know.
Yeah? Are you divorced, or is she just
away from
you? Yeah?
We're just separated.
Hey, Jeremy, why do you think things like that happen in this world?
Because people can't just do what they're supposed to do.
Okay, they can't do what they're supposed to do? Yeah?
Yeah.
I guess I wouldn't argue with that. If I put it in a theological term and said it's because of sin, what would you say to that?
It's pretty much true.
Yeah.
It was pretty much all my fault. I was really screwing up, and you know, all the events that led to my losing them. Like, I mean, I can't blame anybody else for it.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you're a big man for saying that. Do you hope to be reconciled?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we get along and stuff, but like, I don't know.
But you're just not living together.
Yeah. And I haven't seen him in a few months, so
yeah.
We just talk over the phone and over the internet and stuff. And,
yeah, and you're a young man. You've been doing. You've lived some life. Now, when Trish asked you, where do you think you'd go when you die? What did you say?
Oh, at first I told her hell, but like I honestly don't like really believe that. Like, I really don't know. I haven't really been a great person. I haven't been a bad person. You know, I'm just more or less like mediocre, kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
You know.
Well Jeremy, I want to try to as best I can. See if we can figure out just whether you've been a pretty good or a pretty bad person, and this might be extremely illuminating for you, okay?
Okay.
Because this might help a lot of things make sense to you, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to make a statement, and then I'm going to see if I can back it up, all right? Are you ready for this one?
For sure.
I think you're a really bad, wretched sinner.
That's not the
next thing to say. Okay. So let me see if my statement is accurate by giving you a little test to see if I'm right or not, okay?
Sure.
Okay. Jeremy, do you think you've kept the Ten Commandments?
No.
No. Do you remember the first one that said you should love the Lord your God, that he should be first in your life, your primary affection should be God Almighty? Do you think that he's been the primary focus and affection of your life?
Not at all.
Okay, so there's the first commandment. That's kind of the biggie here. Have you ever taken his name in vain?
All the time. It's one of my favorite words.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude.
Like, that word lets somebody know exactly how serious you are about a situation. Like, if you attach God and then that word to any, at the end of any sentence, or God did it, or whatever, if you attach that word at the end of any sentence, people know exactly how serious you are.
Yeah, that might be, but it might show that you're serious, but here's what it says to God, that you don't honor him, that you don't respect him, and instead of using a foul, filth word, you used his name and you dragged it right through the mud.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
That's what you mean, yeah.
Okay. So, Jeremy, there's two commandments right there. Now, did you ever dishonor your parents in any way?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I have no real good relationship with my parents.
All right. Have you ever murdered anybody?
No.
Okay. Listen very carefully, though, to what the Bible says. The Bible says if you're just really angry at somebody, like have you ever been driving down the street, flipped somebody off, been annoyed and called somebody a bad name?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a murderer at heart because God just doesn't see the outside actions.
Somebody was telling me that the other day.
Yeah.
That's crazy you said that. Yeah, somebody was telling me that the other day.
All right. Another word besides crazy. I don't think it's a coincidence. Here's one for you, Jeremy. Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart.
Somebody was telling me that the other day, too. Someone was breaking me down on this the other day. This is gnarly, yeah.
All right.
So, just looking at him, and, I mean, you've already, I got it.
Yeah, so, Jeremy, you can do the math in your own head. You've been walking around the streets now for a good portion of the day. How many times do you think you've broken that commandment?
Uh, I was just doing it a second ago.
Okie dokie. Now, so remember my statement to you was, I think you're a really bad, what did I say, wretched sinner.
Wretched sinner, yeah.
Yeah, am I convincing you yet?
Yeah, you're convincing me that I need to change a lot already.
Well, it's actually, there's something bigger going on than change, all right? Because even if you changed today and you lived the rest of your life, however many years God gives you perfectly, you're still have got 23 years of sins that God is really angry at.
Okay,
God is a perfect, holy, righteous, just being. And he records and knows every single time you lust, you're angry, you blaspheme his name. He's not first, you're not grateful, you're not thankful for your food, for your clothes, for your air, for anything. He knows when you've sinned against him, and you're going to have to settle your account with him on judgment day. So, Jeremy, when that day comes and God judges you, finds you guilty of breaking all of his laws countless times, do you think that he should send you to heaven or hell?
I'm sure he should probably send me to hell. I mean, basically he warned us enough in the Bible about what was going to happen, and then to totally live my life the way I have and expect to go to heaven would be retarded.
Yeah, you should be the preacher right now. That's exactly right. So, dude, you're 23 years old, and you've got a death sentence on your head. And if God takes you down, you're going to hell. What do you know about hell?
Not anywhere anybody wants to visit anytime soon.
There, Jesus used words like, there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, that it's a lake of sulfur. The worm never dies. It goes on for forever and ever. It's complete outer blackness. So you can't even see your hand in front of your face. It is just horrid, terrible, and it's the right punishment for sinners like you and like me. Jeremy.
Yes, sir.
You said something about the Bible. Please tell me, what is the kindest thing that anybody has ever done for you so that you don't have to go to hell?
He gave his life. Dude.
Yep. He was beaten and hung on a cross, died. Imagine that. For you, Jeremy, the wretched lawbreaker. Imagine that. Imagine that. So 2,000 years ago, he knew that you'd be out on the streets looking at women with lust, that you'd be using his name as your favorite swear word, and he died for you anyway.
Good man.
Huh? He's a good God, man. He's the perfect sacrifice for your sins, because that's what you need. Okay, so Jeremy, here's what you got today, dude. You got something to think about. I know that you've seen some crummy, whatever's going on with your marriage and your kids, I know it's been rough, but you got a bigger issue going on today now. If God is true and the Bible is right, you are going to hell. But God offers you forgiveness and everlasting life, and he will reconcile you to himself if you will repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ and him alone. Do you know what the word repent means?
To apologize and give forth all your sins and try to cleanse yourself in some way.
Well, you're right about the first part. You've got to apologize. You've got to confess your sins.
You've got to, like, actually mean it.
You're right. You do. And you can't cleanse yourself. He'll cleanse you if you apologize and turn from your sins and put your trust in Jesus, and then he'll cleanse you because you can't cleanse yourself. That's your big problem. So here's what I want to really plead with you today, Jeremy, is please, here's the formula to get to the place where you really, really mean it. Here's what you need to do. Are you ready?
Yeah.
You need to spend some time thinking about your sins, not just the consequences that you lost your wife and your kids, but that you've sinned against God in thought, in word, and deed. And it should start to scare you if you have to face him on Judgment Day without a lawyer, naked by yourself, you and God alone. It should horrify you. And when it does, then you should see Jesus hanging on a cross for you. And it should break your heart. And then you should repent and apologize and put your trust in him, not because you're afraid of hell, but because he's been so kind to take the punishment to save you from hell. Okay?
Okay.
So now you got something really, really big to consider today, and that's what I would just implore you to do, okay, Jeremy?
I will do that.
Hey, Jeremy, you said earlier that somebody's maybe taking you down this road. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think God is really, really trying to get your attention and save you. He will save you. He will take pity on you. He will have mercy on you. Please repent and put your trust in him today, okay?
I will do that.
All right, Jeremy, we'll be praying for you, okay?
Please do.
And we'll also be praying that you get reconciled with your wife and kids. That would be a beautiful ending to the story.
That'd be nice.
All right, man. Goodbye.
All right. Goodbye. Mm-hmm.
Sin is such a rotten thing. It is just it. All the good that God created, a man and a woman and kids and work that's good. You sweat at work, and that's a, you know, in a good way, and that's all, and the nice things to enjoy, all wrecked and all trashed because of sin. All we need to do is look around, and we just see the devastating effects. But even though those things can cause cancer or a tornado or a family to be split up, the biggest problem still is sin. And so when we witness to somebody like Jeremy who's hurting or handicapped, we want to be sympathetic, but we still don't want to water down the good news of the gospel, because the greatest need still is forgiveness of sins.
Until next time, go serve your King.